family picture frames.
Who are the people in yours? I'm Josh.
And I'm Christy. In This Together is a podcast where we discuss topics related to today's family. We also go behind the scenes to share stories from our own crooked picture frame.
And we interview guests to discover how their stories can give us insight on becoming families who live, love, and lead well.
Because you're not alone. We're in this together. This episode of the In This Together podcast is brought to you by Lifeway Women. For more information about all the events Lifeway Women has to offer, visit lifeway.com/womensevents.
Welcome back to the In This Together podcast. We're talking today about how not to dread bedtime or why bedtime's so important to our kids, however you want to think of it. This is a conversation that is really foundational, I think, as it relates to raising kids who love God and love other people. And by the way, also winning our kids' hearts. Because in Deuteronomy 6, Moses says that there are four key times of the day to instill the love and commands of God on our kids' hearts. And those are the mundane times that are already built into our day. He's not saying we have to add anything to our day. He's saying these are key times built in the morning when they wake, during drive time or when you walk along the way, during meal time, and then when you tuck your kids in bed at night, when they go to bed. And yet there's a lot of families that we meet and know where bedtime, they dread it, and it becomes the worst fight of the day, especially for parents where both parents are working and you're getting home and you're exhausted. You've gotten dinner ready. The kids are overtired and they're just off the wall. And so it's like, ugh, I dread this. And I think what's key here today as we talk about this is this isn't just about saying, okay, even though I do believe bedtime is one of the most important parts of the day, most important times of the day in connecting with our kids, what we're talking about is getting that space where we can truly connect with our kids' hearts.
Well, and I think that's the conversation. It is the sacredness of bedtime and that bedroom space for a child where they feel safe enough to open up. And I think all listening, I mean, we've recognized there's a sweetness about that time and that space that just somehow is different than the other times of the day. Like, you can't have the same conversations at the kitchen table or even really, you know, driving somewhere. You can't have them anywhere else, I don't think. But in those vulnerable spaces of a child's bedroom where they're open and they're honest and they ask questions that they were afraid to ask before. And the leaning in, because I understand how often you want to just toss them in bed and peace out of there. Like, I wrestle with that probably most nights. But recognizing that just to give a slight pause, because that's valid. You are exhausted at the end of the day. Like, we get that. That is true and honest and valid. And yet, if we can just pause, even just a little, and just lean in a little bit closer, what good that can do. And not just for our kids, not just for them, but for us too. Those are some of the most precious memories I have thus far as a mom. Are the conversations and just the intimacy of those moments.
And we get that there's some of you out there who are listening who say, this is, I love that for you, but it has not been that way for me. Yes. And I think that's the heart behind this tonight, this conversation today is that tonight when you tuck your kids into bed, that you're just making a small mental shift. It's just that slight edge shift, 2-degree shift of here's the motivation behind what we're going to do tonight, and knowing why you're doing it. I think that's the key, is your heart is to win your child's heart, and it's to win it for Christ. It's also to win it so that you have a relationship with your children ongoing. And sure, let's be honest here. You might have more nights early on where bedtime routine is just awful, but the more you're there, over time, all it takes is years down the road, maybe when your kids are in middle school or even high school, for them to say, in that moment, mom, dad, can I tell you what happened to me at school today? And it wasn't because they're ready to talk. It's because you have been there consistently over and over and over again for them during that period of time, and they know they're safe. Mm-hmm. They know you're ready to listen. And so, you know, just, you know, there are times where you have to call an audible and you just go, okay, you know, we talk about being kind to ourselves. There are some times where it's, you know, you're trying to do this bedtime routine and it just doesn't work out the way you anticipated it. It's okay to call an audible. This is what quarterbacks do when they look at the defense and they realize the defense is lined up the way that they're going to, you know, they're going to nail the play that they've called. And so the quarterback calls an audible, switches up the play, and so that it helps them to be successful against that defense. Sometimes we just have to call an audible because the kids are overtired. The kids didn't, you know, get enough to eat that day. I don't know what it is. There's special moments where we're exhausted and we just can't do it. It's okay to call an audible every now and again.
Peace, kids. Peace and so, out. I'm done.
One of the things that I would just really, you know, this space, and I think we're going to talk about some ways to do this, how not to dread bedtime, but we're going to also, I want to, like last night, for instance, great example. I'm tucking our son in, tucking both the kids in, and I started with our son because usually our daughter's the one to get up often. So I'd get him in bed because I know he's going to listen the first time. So also part of this is studying. It's becoming a student of the bedtime routine and becoming a student of your kids and knowing what's the most efficient way to do this and practical way of doing this. But I know that our daughter tends to be the one to come out a few times because her arm hurts or her toe hurts or her tummy hurts or, you know, those types of things. And so I wanted to begin with him, and I did. And he says, Dad, he says, I have a question. He says, there are some words that I don't understand when you pray. Can you tell me them? And one of them was summon. We summon angels to protect. We summon your angels on our behalf to protect our family. So one of them was summon. And I said, well, that means God, send your angels. God, just, we send, you know, send your angels right now to protect us. And he said, okay, I get that. What's behalf mean? And so I'm able to say, okay, so that means, you know, that we want him to protect our family for us. So God, send your angels to protect us. So you're changing how you word things and realizing they're listening to your prayers at nighttime there. But without that space for them to ask questions, those prayers could go over their heads and they don't even understand what the world we're praying. And so
that could go on for like a year.
Moments.
I mean, literally, that's funny. Kennedy asked me yesterday what restore means, because I prayed that the Lord would restore her. And she said, what does restore mean? And I was like, that is a great question. It means, I think my answer was like, to fill up the places that are empty in us, that God would refill those places, those empty places in us. And I was like, oh my gosh, same. It's like, they listen.
Yeah.
They listen to what we are saying.
And those moments too. So another, the other funny part is, you know, our kids are at this sweet age right now where they're able to tell on themselves. And I love that. And I hope it always continues, but you know,
it won't, you know that.
I know, but okay. You know, my parents were in town, my mom and stepdad were in town and they were watching our kids. And I went upstairs the night we got home and, they were laying awake and Landon goes ahead and starts telling me everything that he did, you know, that he got fruit snacks without asking. He went through the whole list of things that he did while we were gone that he shouldn't have done. And just basically confessed everything. Dad, I did some bad things, he says. And I got fruit snacks without asking. And he goes on. And none of them were like, I mean, it was basically like that. And I come downstairs. My mom's like, how did you get him to tell you all of those things? And I was like, he just did. Like, because we're there. We're in that moment with him. And I think that's important. So.
And I think too, that like, again, guilt-free drop for all that. This is not every night. I don't think we need to aim for perfection. I mean, if we do, we're going to miss every time, obviously, but we need to just, it's, I think half of it is just pausing within ourselves. Cause so often I have the thing that I'm like, my heart is set on to do after bedtime that I'm looking forward to without children. And I'm like, yeah, da, 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 in Jesus' name, amen. But okay, love you. Have a great little, you know, bye-bye. And sometimes just that pause for me is what brings life to me, because I recognize, like, and I'll get emotional just because I always do, but this is it. Like, this is the only shot we get as mom, as dad. We don't get a do-over. And so often I think we make the mistakes throughout the day out of anger and rush and frustration. And it takes that little pause at bedtime to ask for restoration, to ask for forgiveness, to ask who we really are as parents. Are we really connecting with our kids, and do our kids feel connected to us? Like, do I really know you? And those moments are just, they're gold, really, because I think we will all look back and remember the nights that we didn't take for granted.
That's the heart of why we think bedtime is so important, because we do get this one shot. And, you know, I lay in bed at night with our kids, and so often I have to put off what I want to go do, because I'm laying there. Even just last night, I was laying there with our daughter, and I'm and she says, "Daddy, can I lay on you?" And she likes to lay on my chest with her head on my chest to fall asleep some nights. And
that's because she did it every single night as a baby. She wouldn't sleep any other way.
That's the only way she would sleep as a baby. And so, you know, I wrestled in my own brain last night. I said, you know, I'm saying to myself, there's things I need to go do.
You don't even need to go do. You just want to go do. Want to go do,
yeah. And I said, you know what? I'm going to lay here with you. And yes, you can lay on my chest. And so she did. And I laid there, and I just laid there quietly. And I think there's so many quote unquote parenting experts out there that, you know, that'll tell us, like, oh, you shouldn't be laying with your kids, because, you know, you're going to start a bad habit and all this and that. And my response is what Christy just said: you only get one chance. And I would much rather, here's what I know: when my son and daughter are 15 and 16 years old, they're not going to be begging me to come sleep with them. And so I would much rather it be quote unquote inconvenient right now in my life to go lay with them for a period of time than to try to be the hard nosed, no, I'm not doing this because you need to listen and you need to obey. And I think that attitude tends to, it can prevent us from those sweet moments. And so that's my position on it. Are there times where I have to do that in order to get, you know, because our daughter would be one, but our son did the exact same thing, and he grew out of it, and she's going to grow out of it, where it's this sense of, you need to lay with me every single night. Well, that stuff has to break. We have to break those things of, yeah, no, I can't lay with you every single night. Are there going to be special moments we do that? Sure. Were there routines where, you know, our kids would come over and say they had a bad dream when they probably really didn't, just to lay with us? Sure. Did we let them lay with us? Most nights. But then, you know, you have to break those habits, and you break those habits through behavior modification. You know, tomorrow you get a treat if you can stay in bed all night long, or we go back to the behavior charts, and they're using behavior charts, or they're getting treats to learn how to get back to sleep and maintain these healthy routines. Those are important, but at the same time, we can't go all in on either extreme. And I think that's the key. How do you embrace these moments without going on either extreme?
Because I think that's what happens, right? It's like either it's like we're deciding, oh, this is for my child, or I'm choosing me. And I think you just have, there's a line of balance there for sure. There are nights I need me time. Like, everyone in this house needs me to have me time.
Amen.
Amen. And that's okay. Toss him in bed. I love you. Great. We'll connect tomorrow night. And I think there's so much guilt and shame that we just heap upon ourselves without cause. And I think it's the 2 out of 5 times. If we can get it right 2 out of 5 times, we're doing great.
Yeah. And that's research out of John Gottman's research that found that if we're emotionally, if we can emotion coach our kids just 2 out of 5 times, 40% of the time, if we can get it right, we're still going to get the outcomes we're looking for in our kids.
Let's just all do a slow clap. 2 out of 5 times. I think we can do that. I think even I can do that.
So what do we do here? What are some just practical things? You know, for us, one of the things we do is we tend to, you know, if bedtime goes unspoken, the time we're actually putting our kids to bed goes unspoken, we can end up dragging it to the closest amount of time by just doing things. And then you're like, oh, we have to skip book. We have to skip this, because now, you know, you're realizing you're getting your kids into bed later than you normally are. So have a plan.
It's always a rush and a panic and
Yeah. So have a plan and start early. I mean, that's what we typically try to do, is have a plan where we're starting the bedtime routine early.
And so, bonus, now that it's getting darker earlier, as we're moving into winter,
that helps
guys,
a lot.
Like 5:30. Oh, it's time. We need to go get some jammies on.
Yeah. And you know, last night, for instance, our kids were frustrated because we're in school and, you know, they're not getting as much playtime at home. And, you know, so I'm starting the bedtime routine and getting it going. And Christy was out with some girlfriends last night. So I get the bedtime routine going, and I realize that I have them with their teeth brushed, their PJs on, and their water beside their bed, which is a typical routine here in the Straub home. So they have
I'm rolling my eyes. It drives me nuts.
All of these things together. And it's 6:50.
Stop.
It's like 10 minutes till 7.
No, you didn't.
And our son all of a sudden.
Seriously?
Yeah. And our son all of a sudden breaks into tears. But in my brain, I'm thinking it's after 7 o'clock. So, you know, he breaks into tears that we didn't get to play a game or, you know, do certain things which we had, because he just always loves to be doing more and playing more.
Don't all children.
And so I was like, okay, listen, we can read one book and play one game, because it was still only 6:50. I didn't realize. So we played a Paw Patrol matching game.
Look at you.
And read a book.
Super dad.
But we read the book first. So we did all the book. We did the bedtime. Wow. We did the prayers.
Like
we did all of that first. Played a game, jumped in bed, and then I laid with them and talked to them. So it's like getting these things started early so that they're already done helps a lot.
And I think too, it just slows our roll down, right? Like where most kids, if you're in a family that's anything like ours, it just, everything feels like a rush. Like, hurry up. I need you to brush your teeth. Get your breath. Like, hurry, hurry, hurry. Like, it's like we're always late for what? I don't know. Just life. We're just always, so everything feels rushed. And it's amazing when, I think we've talked about that before, we've started our mornings earlier and now we're, you know, when you're starting your evening earlier as well, life slows down because you're not rushed.
Because we've slowed it down.
Yeah. And it often feels like, I'm not trying to say I'm in control of my life, but I'm taking some of the control back where we are dictating at what pace we run life.
Yeah.
And I would rather not run anymore.
And if you're curious as to, okay, so what does bedtime look like? What are some of the things that you can do at bedtime with your kids to really instill the love and commands of God on your kids' hearts? If you're a regular listener, you understand and I've heard of 22-6. If this is your first time, we want to introduce you to a ministry we have called 22-6 Parenting.
As a parent, doesn't it feel like the days feel so long, but somehow the years are just flying by so fast? And I wonder, am I missing it? I want to instill in my kids confidence and work ethic. I want them to love God and love others, to have great friendships. But in my daily life, in the midst of schedules and grocery trips and playdates and soccer practice and laundry and work, am I missing it?
That's why we created 22-6 Parenting, to be intentional, to save ourselves time and throw guilt out the window, to invest in our kids the biblical values we want to stick for a lifetime, without adding anything extra to our already busy day.
22-6 has 3 main features. The first is community. 22-6 is a shame-free community of parents encouraging one another in our most important role, that of mom and dad. Each month we go live for a Facebook Q&A with the community, and it's amazing.
Secondly is content. 22-6 provides the tools you need to talk about God to your kids. Based on Deuteronomy 6, each month's content includes morning prayers, dinner time stories, drive time games, and bedtime questions.
And then there's the coaching. Each month you'll receive a coaching video on that month's mile marker or topic with practical application for how to foster character development and spiritual formation in your kids.
Learn more today at 226parenting.com. That's 226parenting.com. And now that you've heard of 226 parenting, and one of the things, one of the big key pieces there is that we have bedtime questions that you can ask your kids. And I think, you know, one of the things that we're doing right now, just to be honest, is we're reading through, and we're not super strict as it relates to this stuff. So please don't hear me like, you know, every night we do a Bible story and every single day we're doing, you know, we want Jesus to be attractive to our kids. And so we're not forcing stuff into their lives. We're creating it in a way and allowing it to be a natural flow in our home where this is just the natural conversation of what we do. So we're currently reading through the New Testament. We're reading Jesus stories. We call them Jesus stories with one of their Bibles that they have, one of their kids' Bibles. And they're learning about Jesus and they're just, it's fun. They just want to read Jesus stories and it's fun to them right now. So I'm capitalizing on that and going, I'm all in. Yeah. There are some times where they're like, you know, there've been moments where they're just like, I don't want to read a Jesus story, Dad. I'm like, okay, we won't read a Jesus story tonight. We'll read a different story, but we are going to pray because praying is very important. So we're, you know, we want Jesus to be attractive to our kids. However, there are questions in 22-6 parenting that we have, that bedtime questions that you can ask your kids on an ongoing basis. And I think those questions get in, it's that idea that we get into the mystery of our kids. We get mm-hmm. into this and we draw it out, right? Yeah. It's that drawing out of what's really going on within their world.
And I think that's, I mean, think of us all, right? Like we go through seasons where we are so desiring of God, where there's something about the mystery of God. Like we are just drawn to him. Like he is, granted, I believe it's the Holy Spirit pulling us toward him. And there's times like that's going to have grabbed our kids' hearts. And there's times where we're just not in that place. And so there is nothing attractive about being force fed something that you are not in a place where you desire it. I think we have to recognize our kids are humans. Like they will ebb and they will flow. And it is our, just like we would sitting across, you know, the table at a coffee shop with a friend, we have to read them to recognize where they're at and really what it is, what do they need at this season in this place. And so, yes, I would agree. We were probably the least, you know, begin quote, end quote, religious in terms of how we do any of it really bedtime. I mean, I think we're intentional, but it is not rigid or religious in any sense. And
the other piece of that is becoming a student of your child so that you can see when there's times we read books an hour before bedtime because they're just ready to read books. Or, you know, we're having a conversation at the dinner time about Jesus or about something related to God in our lives that really took up, you know, a good portion of our conversation. And it was like, that was great. That was fantastic. You know, we don't need to keep belaboring, you know, by adding, you know, the next thing.
And then recognizing when there's going to be moments our kids are emotional and they are in need of, they need to talk. They need to talk things out. They might have experienced something that day at school and recognizing I need to make space for you to, because there is something going on deep within you that I need to be present to hear.
You know, even our son, you know, when we pick him up from school, we've learned to give him this space where, because the natural parent thing to do is to pick your kids up and say, how was your day? Tell me about this person. Who'd you sit with at lunch? Who'd you play with at recess? What'd you do at recess? You know, and get in, you know, a million questions. And I know for me, I shut down when I get a million questions. And I also know that when Christy's trying to ask me questions right after my work day, I don't want to talk. And so, you know, we've given our son the permission that when we pick him up from school to be able to just say, I'm okay to not talk right. Like, I just don't feel like it right now. And he's been really, really good at talking if he wants to. But rather than just diving in with questions, we let him start telling us. And then we start inquiring. Or if he just says, I'm just not feeling right, like talking right now. We're like, okay, that's fine. But at bedtime, he doesn't want to go be quiet right? I mean, it's like,
mommy, can we talk? I'm like, yeah, bud, what? And he's like, mom, I have so much to tell you. I'm like, yes, go. Everything. Tell me everything.
Yeah. So, you know.
But it's just allowing the space for it.
I just really want to encourage you to allow the space for it, as Christy just said, and think about what agendas that you've had in your brain that have prevented fun bedtimes or that have made you dread bedtimes. You know, it might be that you feel like you have, you know, you don't have enough time and you're not starting it early enough. It might feel like, and by the way, there are some of you who are listening, your kids are just, they are absolute terrors at bedtime. I mean, it's truly like negotiating with a terrorist, right? Like you're completely, you know, at a loss, and then maybe bedtime's not that time for you. You just have to survive bedtime. And for some of you, that's a season. Mm-hmm. For many people, that's a season of life. If your kids are in that 2 to 3 to 4 range and it's just massive temper tantrums or that type of thing, we just really encourage you to get through that season and survive the season.
Get through it. How do you encourage someone to get through it?
Well, no, survive the season, because it's a season. When we're in those seasons, it's true. We don't think them as seasons.
It's so true.
We think that's the end all be all.
That's so true.
And this is a pipe dream that we're talking about right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is so true.
And there's also, I also want to encourage you, some of you, your children are, whether it's ADHD or they're dealing with explosiveness. One resource I really want to encourage you to check out is The Explosive Child, because some of you listening have different children in varying spaces. Some of them are on the spectrum, just, you know, on autism spectrum. And so, you know, if that's you and that's the season you're in as well, and you're navigating that, I really want to recommend, I'm going to put some resources in the show notes for that called, there's a great book by Dr. Ross Green called The Explosive Child, as well as he's got an incredible website with lots of practical resources called Lives in the Balance, livesinthebalance.org. We'd love for you to check those out as well. Because for some of you listening, you have extenuating circumstances where bedtime, genuinely, there's reasons that bedtime is a dread. And there's just other times in the day to create that space to win your child's heart. And I think that's the point here, is we think bedtime is the key time because it's just a really, really, generally speaking, for most kids, it's the most vulnerable part of the day for them. But there are some kids that's not true of. And we want to give you the grace and the space to go, there's other times of the day that you can capitalize on this. Mm-hmm. And it's finding that. It's becoming a student of your child to find when that moment is.
And one like closing thought, Bob Goff once said, be the adult you wish you had as a child. And I think that gives us all a perspective shift. Being the adult that I wish I had as a child. What does that adult look like? What do they do for you? Where are they there for you? Where did you need them? And how can you do that for your kids? And I think if we can all just lean, again, like Josh said, 2 degrees into that, we're not talking about making major shifts, just a little 2-degree change, becoming that adult for our kids that we wish we'd had.
Just changes how we show up.
Yep.
Just changing how we show up.
Yeah.
So if this episode resonated with you or brought up any questions that you have, please go to inthisdailypodcast.com, submit a question for us to be able to discuss and talk about in our Q&A episodes. And we love journeying with you. So we will see you next week. Check out inthistogetherpodcast.com for previous episodes and to subscribe. If you have a question or a topic that you'd love us to cover, hit the submit button right there on the page.
And we would also love if you would leave us a review. Your reviews mean so much to us, and they help people learn about the podcast. And we would love too if you'd find us on Instagram and Facebook at Dr. Josh and Christy, or our website, drjoshandchristy.com.
Until next time, press in and enjoy the moment.